Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call of Quess Corp, hosted by IIFL Capital Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Siddharth Zabak. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and thank you for joining us on the post-Q2 FY 2026 and H1 FY 2026 results conference call of Quess Corp Limited. It is my pleasure to introduce the senior management team of Quess Corp who are here with us today to discuss the results. We have Mr. Guruprasad Srinivasan, Group CEO, Mr. Kushal Maheshwari, Head Investor Relations and Treasury, Mr. Lohit Bhatia, President, India and Global Operations, Mr. Kapil Joshi, CEO of Quess IT Staffing, and Mr. Naveen Dave, CEO of Quess Staffing Solutions. We will begin the call with opening remarks by the management team, and thereafter, we will open the call for a Q&A session. I would like to now hand over the call to Mr. Kushal Maheshwari to take the proceedings forward. Thank you, and over to you, Kushal.
Thank you, Siddharth. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our Q2 FY 2026 and H1 FY 2026 earnings call. The information, data, and outlook shared by the management during the call is forward-looking and subject to prevailing business conditions and government policies. All forward-looking statements are subject to economic growth or other risks faced by the company. Please refer to slide number two of investor presentation for the safe harbor clause. With that safe harbor clause, I will now hand over the call to our Group CEO, Mr. Guruprasad Srinivasan, for his opening remarks. Over to you, Guru.
Thank you, Kushal. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Quess Corp's Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings call. We are pleased to report another quarter of solid execution and continued momentum. During Q2, we delivered revenue of 3,832 crore, up by 3% year-on-year, with the highest quarterly EBITDA of 77 crore, an increase of 11% year-on-year. Notably, EBITDA margin crosses the 2% mark, and our operating cash flow conversion was at a healthy 109%. PAT stood at 52 crore, with EPS at 3.5 per share. We added over 21,000 associates during this quarter, taking our total associate count to 483,115, up by 5% year-on-year, making us India's largest domestic staffing platform. Due to a ramp-down by an NBFC that we had called out in Q4, around 38,000 associates in Q4, the headcount growth still shows a marginal decline of 5% year-on-year basis. However, with sequential growth due to strong sourcing and onboarding system and processes, we are confident of delivering headcount growth on a yearly basis. In summary, Q2 was a quarter of balanced growth and improving profitability for Quess. We remain focused on operational excellence, margin expansion, and prudent capital management while continuing to invest in high-value segments and technology. We are proud to announce that Quess has been ranked 36th among India's Best Employers 2025 by Time and Statista ranking, another testament to our people-oriented culture. Let me now walk you through each business segment. General staffing, highest net adds in the last six quarters, backed by festive hiring momentum. In Q2, general staffing delivered a robust quarter with 21,283 net additions, our best in the last six quarters, driven by seasonal demand, especially in manufacturing and BFSI vertical and consumer retail and telecom. The reported revenue for the segment stood at 3,317 crore, growth of 3% year-on-year and 6% quarter-on-quarter. We added 72 new contracts in Q2 across verticals, taking our H1 total to about 151 new contracts. Headcount rose to 470,337, contributing to 86% of our total company's revenue coming in from general staffing business. Our sourcing engine has scaled significantly, with over 55,000 associates were onboarded via sourcing this quarter, compared to 30,000 in Q1. During the quarter, we have done gross addition of 115,000, that is 115,000 versus 79,000 gross additions in previous quarter, reflecting the strength of our robust hiring system. The segment recorded a healthy gross margin with strong execution in collection efficiency. DSO days for general staffing stays at about 25 days, and continued dominance of a collect and pay, which now covers 76% of our headcount. Q2 leading up to the festivals, hiring in sector like manufacturing, financial services picked up significantly, contributing to this uplift. Overall, our general staffing platform demonstrated a healthy revenue growth and improved headcount utilization during the quarter. The open mandates at the end of quarter stood close to about 27,000 as we step into Q3. Moving on to professional staffing, this platform continues to deliver a double-digit growth in terms of EBITDA margins. Professional staffing delivered a double-digit growth and margins for second consecutive quarter, with reported revenue of 224 crores, 11% year-on-year growth with focus on profitable growth. The segment delivered the highest ever EBITDA of 27 crore, a 37% year-on-year growth along with double-digit EBITDA margins at 12.2%. These results were driven by sustained demand for skilled talent in higher value areas during the quarter, and we have rationalized our low margin contracts, which led to improvisation on margin on the lower revenue base. Notably, our focus on global capability centers continues to pay off. Roughly about 73% of our professional staffing headcount is now tied to GCC-led projects, especially in digital, telecom and tech roles. We added 18 new client contracts in this quarter, and we are excited, during the period, and which is very healthy addition for the quarter, with a pipeline of about 1,300 open mandates. These factors give us confidence in sustainable of both growth and margin for this particular segment. Our top sector continues to be digital, high-tech, consumer retail, telecom. These are the sectors where we are getting the demand from. These segments continue to fuel the growth. The headcount of this particular segment increased to 6,862 associates during the quarter. Moving on to international business, our overseas business also performed well during the quarter. Total international headcount stood at 5,730. The segment reported revenue of 290 crores with 3% year-on-year and 2% quarter-on-quarter growth, with EBITDA of 18 crores, which reflects sequential improvement in margin. We saw broad-based strength in key region, specifically coming in from Middle East, Malaysia. Both delivered growth for across IT and non-IT verticals. Philippines had a very strong quarter, headcount up by 8%, reflecting heightened demand in IT, ES and technology. Our Singapore business remained largely stable, where we continue to offset softness in IT by building up general staffing there. Overall, these international markets together delivered stable revenue and margin contribution, with region other than Singapore contributing more than 50% of the revenue and profitability. Middle East achieved the highest ever EBITDA of 12.8%, with headcount crossing 2,100 associates, supported by new IT/ITES customers in Malaysia, in Middle East. While Malaysia and Philippines are delivering better than expected profitability, compensating for decline in Singapore, Singapore now has 43% local hires, up from 17% last year across all markets. We continue to emphasize client diversification, local hiring, and digital sourcing models to sustain profitable growth. Moving on to the last vertical, which is fourth vertical, digital platforms. In our digital platform division, we continue to expand scale and specifically on the product led, which is Hamara Jobs platform, now boasts over 12.6 million registered candidate profile, a clear leading position in India's blue collar segment recruitment space. Meanwhile, Taskmo, which is our gig workforce model, secured its first large scale gig contract with a TCV of 5 crore, deploying about 1,500 taskers nationwide. These milestones underscore our ambition to build India's largest digital employment ecosystem across blue and grey collar economy. With that, I'll now hand over to Kushal Maheshwari, our head of our investor relations, to talk through our financial performance for the quarter.
Thank you, Guru. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Quest Corp's Q2 FY26 earnings call. I'll begin with the headline financial performance before taking you through segmental results and strategic updates. For Q2 FY26, we delivered another quarter of consistent and profitable growth. Consolidated revenue stood at 3,832 crores, representing a 3% year-on-year increase and a 5% sequential rise. EBITDA for the quarter was highest ever at 77 crores, up 11% YOY and 10% QOQ, marking our highest ever quarterly EBITDA with margin crossing 2%. PAT came in at 52 crores, translating to an EPS of 3.5 rupees per share, up 2% YOY and 2% sequentially, notably with no one-time gains or exceptional items this quarter. For H1 FY26, revenue grew 3% YOY to 7,483 crores, while EBITDA increased by 11% YOY to 146 crores, with margin expansion of 14 basis points. PAT for H1 stood at 103 crores, up 3% YOY, with EBITDA to OCF conversion remained strong at 109%, underscoring the quality of earning and disciplined cash flow management. We closed the quarter with a net cash balance of 273 crores after paying approximately 90 crores in dividends, reinforcing our strong liquidity position and balance sheet strength. In line with the stated objective, our focus on margin expansion has started yielding results due to operational efficiency measures and higher mix of high-margin business. From a profitability standpoint, approximately 50% of our contribution comes from high-margin businesses, that is 30% from professional staffing and around 20% from our overseas business. Coming to our segmental performance, our general staffing business delivered its strongest quarter in 6 quarters, supported by festive season hiring and broad-based growth across BFSI, retail, and manufacturing and apprenticeship. Revenue stood at 3,317 crores, up by 6% YOY and 3% QOQ, accounting for 86% of our consolidated revenue, while segmental EBITDA was at 46 crores, down by 23% YOY and up by 1% QOQ, with margins remaining stable at approximately 1.4%. Collect and pay ratio remained steady at 76% and cash conversion remains robust with DSO at 25 days. Overall, general staffing continues to demonstrate operational efficiency, strong cash discipline and market leadership. Moving on to professional staffing business, which continues to perform exceptionally well, delivered sustained double-digit growth in both revenue and profitability. Revenue for Q2 stood at 224 crores, up 11% YOY and down by 8% QOQ, while EBITDA was highest ever at 27 crores, up 37% YOY and 10% QOQ with margin of 12.2%, thereby maintaining double-digit growth and margins for the second consecutive quarter. As discussed by Guru earlier, with our focus on profitability, we have rationalized low-margin contracts within the segment, which has led to rise in margins on lower revenue base during the quarter. Professional staffing continues to be a high margin, scalable growth driver within our portfolio of businesses. Coming to overseas business, which has delivered a steady and profitable performance with broad-based regional contributions. Revenue for the quarter stood at 290 crores, up by 3% YOY and 2% QOQ, while EBITDA was at 18 crores, up 27% YOY and 1% QOQ, representing a stable 6.2% margin. Headcount grew by 16% YOY to 5,730, reflecting strong delivery across regions. To summarize, Q2 FY26 was another quarter of steady growth, record profitability and strong cash conversion for Quest. We achieved our highest ever EBITDA of 77 crores, expanded margins and closed the quarter with a net cash position of 273 crores while investing in digital transformation and talent capability. With improved demand visibility, favorable tailwinds from the GST reforms and strong execution across business lines, we remain confident of sustaining our growth momentum into the second half of the year. Our focus will remain on operational excellence, capital efficiency and AI-led productivity as we continue building Quest into future-ready, technology-enabled workforce solutions leader. Thank you for your time and continued support. With that, I'll hand over the call to the moderator to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Deep Shah from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So the first question is around headcount. I heard you mention that indeed over the festive, you saw manufacturing FS do very well. Any idea or any guidance you give on where do you see this trend continuing? Because if this continues, then I think it's quite healthy for as a company. That's first. Second is on the professional staffing segment. So you did mention that we rationalized some low margin contracts. Nonetheless, these margins that we've achieved are first in our history, if I recollect. Ballpark figure you would like to show that this is where we could normalize or you think that these margins are not sustainable? Any more clarity would be very useful. Thank you.
Thanks, Deep, for your question. For the first half of the question on general staffing, I'd ask Lohit and Nitin to answer on it. And for the professional staffing question, I'll ask Kapil to pitch in, please. Over to you, Lohit.
Deep, good morning. How are you? And, you know, as far as the question is concerned, you'd know that for the last two or three quarters, we were very fixated to take care of the one-off event which happened in Q4 and come back strongly with both the headcount addition, the revenue, achievement, as well as then over the trajectory on the margin category. There were three broad pillars on which the first half of the year was built. As far as GS is concerned, the pillar was that we have to recover on the volume for the 38,000-40,000 that Guru had spoken about from last financial year. On the professional staffing, it was maximizing our intent with the GCCs and the margin expansion. And overseas, it was to come back to a trajectory of growth irrespective of the headwinds of the Singapore market. All three units have delivered in first half of the year a solid platform for what we had set out for each one of them. Now, coming specifically to your question on seasonality, as you know, this time the season got certain tailwinds. There has been a reduction in repo rates a few times. There has been a reduction in income tax for people up to 100,000, which gives more consumption in the hands of the people, as well as the big announcement of GST 2.0, which happened just before the season kicked in. We were very confident that if we look out for opportunities, and those opportunities were delivered by both our sourcing team and technology, and I'll bring in Nitin Dave, the CEO for the staffing business, to speak more about this, and that's what the team has been able to maximize. Looking out into Q3, I would like to basically say that we would look at H2 rather than just simply Q3, because Q3 also comes at the end of, it starts with the end of Diwali and then goes into the season of Christmas and New Year's. So we are confident that we will be able to repeat our H1 performance into H2, but I will give it to Nitin to broadly speak about the measures that the business has taken to ensure this. I'll come back on the professional staffing and then give it to Kapil.
Yeah, good morning, Deep. This is Nitin. So, Deep, I would like to focus on the sourcing engine that we have built and also the sales engine that we have to deliver. If you look at every year and every quarter, if you look at last 3-4 years, we have been delivering a net add of about 15,000 quarter on quarter. So this sales engine and sourcing engine is mature, is in a position to focus on the opportunities. As Guru said in his brief, that the open mandate at this point of time is still 27,000, and that's where we'd like to focus our attention on, and on a continued basis deliver steady headcount quarter on quarter. So that's what the business is geared for. And in terms of sourcing capabilities, technologies, we are working on that consistently. And I believe we are in a position to deliver headcount consistently quarter on quarter.
Kapil, if you can answer the second half of the question on margins for professional staffing business.
Yes, sir. I think he spoke about revenue also, so I will answer first on the revenue front. If you see our revenue by segment, a large portion of our revenue comes from the MSP programs. MSP program is, we just not support client on staff augmentation, but we also support client on cost optimization on, on their workforce management spend in technology area. So we build a strong talent supply chain for them and we manage their technology spend. And it is a pass-through business for us. So one of our large MSP program has gone for sunset, and that is where you see the revenue drop. On gross margin front, and EBITDA front, EBITDA is a combination of gross margin improvement and operational efficiency. And to add on your point, gross margin, I think we would be able to maintain because there is no shift in the demand flow. We still see the demand in mid and senior level, niche and super niche area. Okay, so gross margin we will sustain. On operational efficiency point of view, we don't have any plan for major investment in IDC. So hopefully our EBITDA margin will be stable, a low double digit going forward, will be in the same range what we have reported for last 2 quarters.
Thank you, Kapil. Any more questions, Steve?
Sure. No, this helps. Thanks, team, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Rabha from IIFL Capital Services Limited. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. My question is on finance cost. I wanted to understand why your finance costs have gone up sharply in this quarter, despite your net debt, including lease liabilities, remaining almost flat.
Thank you, Siddharth. I'll take this question. The finance cost is higher during this quarter due to increase in working capital requirements for our high margin business, which have higher credit and DSO days, notably professional staffing and overseas business. However, if you look on a half-yearly basis, more or less the finance cost is in the similar range. Going forward, we expect the finance cost to rationalize in the coming quarters. As we've guided to the street, the finance cost is expected to be around 9 to 10 crores on a quarterly basis, with approximately 50% coming from the operational interest cost and remaining from non-operational interest costs.
That was very helpful. Yeah, thank you and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you, Siddharth.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the general staffing business. So we have seen that there is a improvement in terms of net adds and also in terms of gross additions. And we are also seeing that the sourcing has been improving for us, wherein 41% is now like from the sourcing requirements versus the transfer. But it is not being reflected in terms of the margins that we are seeing. And also in terms of PAPM, how the PAPM split has been, and also in terms of the net additions, if you can split it between how the split has been between like tier 1 and tier 2 cities, because generally like tier 2 hirings have more gross margins. So is it the mix is also changing in terms of total additions? And also in terms of the like bonus payouts in quarter 3, how do you see that like panning out? Can we see a dip in margins in the coming quarters?
Okay, we'll go in a sequence. So to start with PAPM, we are ranging in the same range around 670 to 680. So we continue to be in the same range. That's the first question that you had. And coming back to sourcing, and sourcing is a very intense activity. And if you look at one of the criteria we have been calling out every quarter in terms of our core to associate is also slightly dropping, which is cautiously we are investing more on sourcing because our demand, as I said, almost about 37% is from tier 3 and tier 4 locations. And about 33% comes from tier 1, then there's a mid tier between these two. So if I take between tier 2, tier 4, tier 5, almost 67% of our demand comes from there. And there has to be a very deep ground activity that has to be done. So you have to create alternate channels. We have to create the depth in terms of sourcing. So from that standpoint, we'll continue to invest. And it's important, if you look at, it is also resulting in our onboards, 41% coming through sourcing. Whereas if I go 3 years ago, there was more transfer and about 25-30% was coming through sourcing. So that is slowly changing. So, and we'll continue to do that because hiring on time and timely deployment is something which is extremely critical for staffing. Now, let me hand over to Lohit to anchor the second part of the question on bonus, which will proportionately can come in Q3.
Also, Amit, yeah, thanks for the question. Like Guru explained, this is the start of the activity which we had initiated almost 7 to 8 months ago when we saw the BFSI decline. We started to intensify both our sales acumen in segments like manufacturing, CRT and the others, as well as delivery capability, fulfillment capability, and which is what is reflective as far as the investment is concerned. We are still at a very early and nascent stage for technology or the platformized-led AI activities to start reflecting. That at some point will start reflecting. I don't want to give a guidance on that as yet. However, coming back to your specific point on bonus, yes, whenever there is Diwali, the month of Diwali, which in this case was the first month of Q3, as well as the second month, which would be November in this case, would both have certain pass-throughs. And pass-throughs, as you know, in the collect and pay flat fee business does not give or does not yield extra gross margin. So that would be a temporary blip. It practically happens everywhere that approximately 120 to 150 crore of pass-through values could come in this particular quarter. Other than that, we don't see any major shift as far as the mix is concerned. I think we had made one point about 2 or 3 quarters ago where we said we would like to have a healthy state where general staffing on a growing base contributes 50% of the profitability of that company, and the higher margins international at plus 6% and professional staffing at 11-12% contributes 50%. We've got to that point. Now is the time for us to deepen that for H2 and thereafter.
Okay. So, sir, in terms of more structural levers for the margin expansion in the general staffing business, we thought that higher sourcing and automation and expansion into tier 2s would eventually lead to higher gross margins. So apart from that, what are the other levers we are also exploring in terms of 1 year perspective to expand margins in the general staffing business, or we are apart from the change in mix that we are having in the general staffing side, like within segments. But apart from that, like PAPM expansion is possible, or it's actually going to be at the similar levels that we are having right now.
Yeah, thanks for that question. So like there are two parts to entire Quest ecosystem. One is the overall mix, which is general staffing, professional staffing and international. We've elaborated on that. Within general staffing also, there is a mix. And let me talk about that mix. That mix could today be divided into two broad fashions within the business, and then I'll talk about two emerging businesses. Within the existing business, there is the traditional CRT, which is the consumer-led business, and the BFSI. Both of these are very large volume, flat fee, and collect and pay kind of relationships where less domination of sourcing happens and hence less investment by that nature. Now you come to the other category of the business, which for the last 3 years we were extremely confident about, and that has yielded in the results that today we have 77,000 people in the manufacturing apprenticeship ecosystem. This has become our third largest vertical, but we continue to grow 30% plus year on year on this, while the other stable businesses do about 15% year on year. This business, the manufacturing-led business, yields a higher gross margin than the traditional BFSI and the consumer business. However, on a book of 470,000, it's currently 77,000, but growing at 30% for the last 3 years. So as that mix continues to change, you will see one shift happening. Now I come to the two emerging businesses within general staffing, which have been incubated just in the last 1 year. Between the two businesses today, at a EBITDA margin level, the contribution from them in a quarter is today less than 8%. These two businesses primarily are the VAS business, the value-added services, staffing plus business backed up by technology, and the second business is the construction business. Both of these businesses have much higher gross margin as well as they have much higher EBITDA margin. But like I said, the contribution to the overall general staffing book today is less than 8%, and that's something where our leadership team as well as our teams have made a lot of investments, and we continue to look forward into the next 1 to 3 years on having higher mix from there as well.
Okay. Thanks for the answer, sir. And sir, the second part of the question would be on the professional staffing. Here also, it's encouraging to see the margin expansion and focus on high margin business. But in terms of the existing book of business, we are seeing some recovery in the IT services part, which has been subdued over a longer period of time. So within the verticals which we are within professional staffing, if you could give some color that. What is contributing, because the large part of the growth earlier was largely being contributed by the rise of the GCCs. Are you seeing some shifts or some kind of growth emerging in other verticals as well in professional staffing?
So absolutely. I mean, after 8 or 9 quarter, IT services company has seen a good healthy headcount, and bearing 1 or 2 market leader, I think across all IT services company, we have seen the positive net headcount and very healthy headcount. And we see it will have a direct impact on our business. We do work with a lot of IT services company, and our association with them is a decade old before GCC came to India. So we still work. If you see our revenue by sector, a large portion of our revenue still come from the IT services and enterprises, non-IT enterprises, and we will definitely, it will be a boost to our performance.
Okay, sir, thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Chaudhary from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on professional staffing. While we have highlighted that we are focusing on higher margin clients, But in this quarter, we have also seen decline in contribution from top clients. Top 10% contribution declined by 5%. So is it that we are, you know, defocusing on some of the large clients, which is leading to, let's say, improvement in profitability? So that's one. And second is where we are in the journey of, let's say, reducing the contribution from top line, which is helping us in generating higher margins.
So personally, we always believe in diversified growth. Okay. So if you see what is happening, you know, while most of our growth is coming from the GCC, but GCC also, if you see, go at micro level, you will realize that there are GCC which came to India 5 years back or 10 years back. These are matured GCC. And there is another wave of new GCC which has come in last 3 years. Okay. Both are behaving very differently. A large GCC, you know, vintage relationship, we have seen cost optimization is going on. There is a cost rationalization. There is automation going on. There is AI drive adoption. Okay. And new GCC from day one is adopting this technology. So there is a mix, and that is the, you know, where that is where you see the mix from top 10 client and next 40 client is changing very fast. But I think it is healthy sign for all of us.
So, sir, the second part of question was that can we expect this to continue where, let's say, growth will, let's say, slow down further while margin might remain strong?
I think, yeah, both ways for at least till, you know, I think for another quarter, the trend should continue. Once, starting from January, we see once the new budget allocation planning happens, GCC will get more project, more budget from their headquarters.
Got it, sir. Second, just want to understand your comment on H2 growth will be similar to H1. So H1, we have delivered about 1.6% YY growth. So what we meant when we said that H2 will be similar to H1, we expect low single digit type of growth. And any timeline of, let's say, achieving double digit revenue growth in general staffing?
Nikhil, can you just repeat your question once again?
Yeah, I think there was one comment where we have highlighted in general staffing, H2 growth will be similar as H1, if I heard it correctly. And in H1, we have delivered 1.6% approximately YY growth. So what should we expect from H2 growth, and when can we achieve double-digit revenue growth in general staffing?
So coming to your question, basically when we have delivered 1.6%, basically when you look at it sequentially, in Q4 FY25, there was a NBFC ramp down of around 38,000 associates. But that is still there in the Q1 of FY25. So when you look on a year-on-year basis, our growth would look subdued. But when you look at it at a sequential basis, we have been growing. Now going forward, as we said that in H2, we should consider to deliver similar kind of growth in headcount. So with 21,000 that we've delivered net adds in this quarter, going forward, at least we should do around 10 to 15,000 net adds in the coming quarters, which I think Nitin has already alluded in his speech. So on a year-on-year basis, we should be able to deliver growth in headcount as well as revenue on a year-on-year basis, as well as in EBITDA profitability. Despite losing 38,000 associates in Q4 of FY25. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. And just last one on digital platform. What could be the steady state losses, let's say, going ahead? Are we looking to continue the similar run rate losses perspective even going ahead?
So if you look at both the revenue and losses are very negligible. It's about 1 crore per quarter. But the other way to look at, Nikhil, is the number of users who have come onto the platform, which has gone to now about 12.9 million. So What we are trying to build up is, of course, this will be definitely used for our own internal hiring purpose. So we want to now accelerate at least about 15% to 20% coming through this platform to accelerate our sourcing capability. So we are seeing from the perspective of user actively coming onto the platform. And if you look at even Hamara HR user base has gone from when we started last year, we were about 5.5, half a million. That is now close to about 0.6 million. So it's good to see that active user base is going up. So we'll slowly start monetizing as we move forward.
Got it. That's it from my side. And thanks for
that. Yeah, both the revenue and this thing is very negligible to the overall workforce revenue.
Noted, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Mehta from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. First, about the operating cash flow. If I look OCF in H1, it is, 35-40% down compared to last year, even though our EBITDA has grown. So if you can provide some sense about operating cash flow, even though you indicated in a prepared remark, OCF to EBITDA is 108-110% kind of thing. But when I look at console level, it is weak. That is question one. Second question is effective tax rate. How one should look at it? This quarter it is around 10%. Considering now demerger related thing as well as business mix change, what we are observing from profit contribution perspective, what would be the effective tax rate one should look at it? Third question is about professional staffing. Now you indicated about margin improvement and all those things, but if I look, let's say, an exit from low margin business, ideally low margin business exit should reflect into better revenue per associate. If I look your number, revenue per associate declined almost 20% sequentially, even though your margin has expanded. But this is a bit confusing. If you can provide some detail around it, how to understand these two nuances when you exit from low margin, but your revenue per associate continue to decline. And last question is about Originate. If you can provide some update on our GCC offering. Thank you.
Thank you, Dipesh. Thanks for your question. I'll take a question on tax rate, post which Guru will answer your question on OCF. Kapil will answer your question on revenue per associate in professional staffing, as well as answer your question on origin business. So coming to tax rate, we have started getting higher contribution from a higher margin business. So on the modeling basis, I would advise you that the new tax rate or the tax incidence should be in the range of 10-12%. So as compared to previously, which was we had guided for 5%, but I think the new normal on the tax rate is around 10% for our business as the growth goes forward. Kapil, can you answer the question on professional staffing on the contribution of revenue per associate in professional staffing as well as some inputs on origin business?
Sure. So, Dipesh, just to explain you again, I briefed it earlier also. MSP is a pass-through business where we manage client spend on workforce management in technology space. The headcount is not on our payroll. Okay, so what we have lost is only revenue. We didn't lose the headcount. And that is where if you calculate headcount is the same and but revenue is dropped, I think that is where you see drop per associate. But actually our revenue, only revenue has dropped, pass-through revenue. And our per associate revenue had actually getting improved quarter on quarter. Margins per associate is getting improved quarter on quarter.
Dipesh, on your other question with regard to specific to OCF, see, it's not straight comparable because last year we had a tax refund of about 129 crores. And this year we are working on the tier 2 get there. But where we have closed Q2 is about 109%, which is exceptionally high considering few advance salaries that we would have collected and paid just on the last day before Diwali and all of that. But otherwise, anywhere the range that we should be able to be should be anywhere between about 80-90%. So that's the range that we will be able to sustain. But last time was one odd where we had 129 crore of tax refund.
Sure.
Deep, does that answer your question?
Dipesh, does that answer your question on OCF?
Yeah, that answers. So you are indicating 80 to 90 conversion one should look at it. And because of lack of refund, that number is lower in H1 compared to last year.
And there could be refunds this year as well, but we are not too sure at the moment. As if it comes, it just gets added up. Yeah.
Understand.
As we have guided to the street, for the full year, we should be in the range of 70% for OCF, EBITDA to OCF conversion.
70 or 80 to 90, because I think Guru said 80 to 90.
It depends on whatever income tax refunds. If we are able to get it, then it can go into that range. But on an operational business as basis, we can forecast around 70 to 80%.
Understood. And I think two questions. One follow-up on the professional staffing. Can you give the number of pass-through? Because I think that is one of the reasons which you alluded, which led to revenue per associate decline. And do you expect that MSP, I think, which you indicated, managed service contract, likely to start again in quarter three, which can have some implication on this matrix? And I think originate is unanswered. Thanks.
Louis, if you can just give some inputs on the origin business. Yeah, so two specific questions that you asked. One, you said what was the number of this MSP customer that got sunsetted. It's approximately about 10 crores per month, or for a full quarter, it will be roughly about 30 crores. So that's where, like Kapil mentioned, because these are contractors of our suppliers, not contractors of ours, and hence don't reflect in our headcount. But as we are the MSP provider, it reflects in our revenue number. That's why you were finding that anomaly. Reason that our team always goes out for these lucrative large MSPs is MSP also gives you an enablement to provide your technology, your platform, and also get what is called participating MSP benefit. And as a participating MSP benefit, you generally have a higher market share with that customer between 25 to 40% at least. So will we continue to look at global deals in MSP when the customer wants to play in India? Yes, from time to time, we continue to keep looking at that, and which is why, in spite of the fact that our business yielded 12% plus EBITDA margin, Kapil has said that he would like to continue on the range of 11 to 12%. So we've factored for that. Here's one. What was this? Origin, yeah. On Origin, we have already successfully not just bagged, but we have also executed and activated one GCC. There are another two which are at the final legal stages. You know, this has a very long gestation period for the simple reason that the sales cycle itself, the pre-sales cycle itself, can be between 3 to 6 months. Another 3 months of architecting how you will execute, and then it could take anywhere between 2 to 3 months to do your legal agreements from the clients, because they are setting up shop in your country for the very first time, and that has to be all managed by us. And obviously, premises has to be taken, so infra has to be built and activated. So hence, GCC by nature is a slightly longish gestation period when it comes to from the time that we start the sales cycle to the time that we fructify. We feel that this quarter, these two legal agreements will go live, and then will come the delivery stage, and they will start marginally contributing to our numbers. But by Q4, they will have slightly better contribution to the numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ashaka from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My question was, can you please provide information on the current status of tax and GST litigation?
Your line is not clear. Can you, it's echoing. Can you repeat?
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yes.
Can you please provide more information on the current status of tax and PF litigation?
Tax and?
PF litigation.
As far as the tax goes, we don't have any update on it. The next hearing for the ITAT
is on 1st December of 2025. Probably we should be able to give you some more updates in the next quarter.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Sankar Narayan S. from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Apologies if this question is already asked by any of our previous participants. So,
Shankar, if you can be a little louder.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, better.
Yeah. Apologies if this question was asked by an already existing participant. So what is happening to our CRT vertical within general staffing, and when, why its contribution is coming less? Because our BFSI client have lost and that have impacted, but from a CRT sector perspective, what's happening there?
Consumer retail. So I would ask Nitin to give some info on CRT, but overall we don't see any decline in there. So the concentration, basically the contribution of CRT business on the overall basis has come up from 50% to around about 45% in this quarter. So some flavor on that, Nitin.
What is happening is that if you look at the quarter on quarter, our maximum growth has come from the manufacturing segment. And if you look at our manufacturing segment at this point of time, is growing at about 15% quarter on quarter. So what is happening in the CRT, it is a more far more mature vertical for us, where the growth is more steady, where some of the other segments like manufacturing are certainly growing faster. But overall, the pipeline at CRT is healthy. The sourcing that we are doing in the CRT vertical is also healthy. What is happening is that the telecom business, which also forms a part of the CRT vertical, is growing slower. So actually, it is coming down. So the telecom vertical at this point of time is not hiring. The number of telecom operators are also limited. It's not that you can grow those verticals. But if you look at smaller pack practices within the CRT verticals like the retail, the e-commerce, they have definitely grown. But the telecom practice has gone down. And on top of that, the manufacturing is certainly growing faster. It's the fastest growing practice for us at this point of time.
Shankar, you've got it right. There's a typo error on that. The CRT is still 48% in this quarter. It's not 43%.
Got it. So I'm saying from the general staffing contribution, so that's the reason why I mentioned 43.
Okay, got it.
So one more question. So what is the, like since we are a market leader in the general staffing business, what is your expected headcount growth for the next 3 to 5 years?
So Shankar, so this is your, you know, this question is something that we answered. And I'd like to repeat that at this point of time, we have a very steady sourcing and a sales engine in place, which is designed to take to cater to the requirements of all the segments, be it the CRT, manufacturing, as well as BFSI in all parts of the country. What we see is, and what we have been doing is, for the last 3 years, we've been adding about 60,000 headcount year on year. And we would be able to, on a steady basis, deliver growing headcount year on year. So that is our thought process, that we fine-tune our engine, strengthen them, and continuously deliver headcount growth quarter on quarter. So that is our thought process as far as the next 3 to 5 years are concerned in the general staffing business.
Just to add a little more there, I mean, at 483,000 level, Shankar, we'll be, by headcount, we'll be globally third largest by headcount. Obviously, the aspiration is to drive towards becoming globally number one.
Got it.
Moderator?
Yes. Yes, sir. The next question is from the line of Gaurav from Capital Farming Consultants. Please go ahead.
Gaurav, hi, you are there online?
Mr. Gaurav? Seems like the participant is not there. The next question is from the line of Shivang from MK. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, Shivang, yes.
Yeah, since the VFC impact was in Q4 last year, can you give me a sense of YoY growth for Q4 this year?
Sorry, what is it that you're looking at?
YoY growth in headcount for Q4.
Yeah. So as we've already stated that in the next two quarters, we should be able to do a net addition of around 10 to 15,000 in the coming two quarters. So I think we should be ending the year with a single digit growth in the headcount on a yearly basis.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Zaki Nasser from Nasser Investments. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I would have a small question on the other expenses part. Sir. Our other expenses have dropped to 94 crores from 169 on a September to September basis. So is this an accounting, sir, whereby part of the payment goes through our subcontractors, which is directly reflected in our books? How does this work, sir?
You're right, Nasir. As we discussed that we have rationalized our low-margin business in MSP, and so there's a decline in revenue in the professional staffing business and decline in other expenses.
Cost.
Whereas the cost for the subcontractor charges.
Okay, so the subcontractor charges will get converted into in employee benefit expenses broadly. Is it right, sir?
If we get
it is reflected.
No, I'm saying if we let go of these contracts, MSP contracts, so subcontractor expenses also will go off from the back.
So the percentage of expenses will get converted from other expenses into employee charges.
No, it will.
No, it will not actually.
It will not. It's if you look at it, it's sequential. If when we downsize a program in MSP, to that extent, the direct cost also comes down, Zaki. So that's the point which Kushal is trying to explain. So it does not convert into employee benefits.
The other expenses have gone up.
The subcontracting expenses actually comes down.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hawa. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Audible.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. And my question was connected to the cash. Like, what is the company's policy? Like, what is the management deciding about what 270 plus crore plus cash is? Like, with dividend return or the investment, what are you planning?
So we have defined a stated policy. First of all, the business is a cash generating as an entity. We are a cash generating entity, and we have a clear dividend policy that we have put across. Up to 75%, we will, work in the form of dividends is something that we have clearly put across.
Thank you. All the best for the future.
Yeah.
As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks everyone for joining us today for the earnings call. All your questions and feedback has always been valuable to us. We appreciate your continued interest and support, and I sincerely look forward catching up with you all. Thank you so much for joining us today again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. On behalf of IIFL Capital Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you very much.